addition to Birchas HaNehenin, which we discussed, Tesein Zaynis and Sefer Adama and Sefer HaMoitzi and Bar Pir Rofen, in addition to Birchas HaMitzvahs, which are really not so much in our Masechta, it's really in Psochim. In the first parak, now you have Birchas Shevach and Birchas Hoidor. Birchas Shevach, you praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu over the Gvuras Hashem, the fantastic things that he does in the world. And Birchas Hoidor, we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if I have a farm in Eretz Yisrael and I need the rain, it rains, so then the Gemara has one Hussach HaBracha. And if I don't have a farm, but I'm very happy, I live in Eretz Yisrael, I'm happy over the fact that there's a lot of rain, it's good for the farmers, they say a different bracha. The Gemara is going to, one is a Birchas Shevach, one is a Birchas Hoidor. If I have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then it's Hoidor. And Moedim Anachna Loch, we thank you. And if it's just, you see the breathtaking mountains, and you see all the beautiful parts of the Bria, then it's a Birchas Shevach. That's not a Birchas Hoidor. So that's the Mishnah. Then the Mishnah quotes Reb Yudah, and the Gemara says, be passed like Reb Yudah. That's 8 lines in. And Nun Dalet Emanah. Reb Yudah says that when you see Hayam HaGadol, say a bracha, a special bracha, bracha shos as Hayam HaGadol. In Shulchan Aruch, there are two opinions. What's the definition of Hayam HaGadol? One interpretation, Hayam HaGadol means an ocean. Whenever you see any ocean, the Atlantic, the Pacific, whatever oceans you see, say this bracha. And the other pshat, it only goes on the Mediterranean. Why is the Mediterranean called the Hayam HaGadol? It's not bigger. It's bigger than a little lake, but it's not bigger than the ocean. The answer is because it says in Chumash and Parashas Bereishis, Hanor HaGadol Nahar Peros. The Euphrates is called Hanor HaGadol. So Rashi quotes in the Medrash, why is it Hanor HaGadol? Because anything that's in connection with Eretz Yisrael is called Gadol. It has a chashivas. If someone is a servant of the king, so he's more important than other people. So here, the Nor HaGadol, the Euphrates River, borders on Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael HaShlei Maslo, supposed to go all the way to the Euphrates. So that's why it's called the Hayam HaGadol. So because it's the western border of Eretz Yisrael, the Mediterranean, the western border, so that's why others say that's why it's called the Hayam HaGadol, and he composed a separate bracha. Baruch Shosos Hayam HaGadol. So Misafik, we never say the bracha. If you see the Atlantic, you don't say the bracha. Maybe you're supposed to say the bracha when you see the Mediterranean. If you see the Mediterranean, you don't say the bracha. Maybe you only say it when you see an ocean. Maybe the Mediterranean, so people don't say the bracha. Okay.
Hayam HaGadol. Specific.
Sounds like it's Mediterranean,
yeah,
only one, because
like
there are a few oceans. There's more than one ocean. Okay. Yeah. No, you have to say which yam. Okay. Okay, it's a good taina. You get the impression that it goes on the Mediterranean. That's the machlokes in Shulchan Aruch. But you only say it, let's say the person lives, he goes swimming in the Mediterranean every day. So every day he says the bracha, but the Mishnah says, no, b'zmancha reihu lefrokin. So that's what Tosis quotes from the Yerushalmi. I don't know what they quote Yerushalmi. It's a Gemara later. It's a Babli also. That the word Lefrakah means once every 30 days. The same thing we applied with respect to ripping Kriya. When you see the Makam HaMikdash B'chor Bono, so you have to rip Kriya. Only if you haven't seen it in 30 days. If you saw it within the last 30 days, then you have to rip Kriya. But over here also, the person is only overwhelmed if he hasn't seen the Hayam HaGadol in 30 days. The Mishnah talks about Besuras Tovus and Shmuas Rois. That's the Girsa on the margin. Besuras Tovus, when you hear wonderful news, then you say Bracha Tova Meitu. When you hear Shmuas Rois, the Girsa that we have in the Mishnah in the first wide line is Besuras Rois. Besura means Levaser, to tell over the story. Shmuas means I heard it. So that's what they quote from the Vilna Gaon, that the Gemara in the beginning of Psochem quotes a pasuk. What's the pasuk? That you're not allowed to tell over bad news. When Rav came from Bavel to learn by Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, so his uncle Rav Chiya was there. Rav Chiya was a Talmud of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. So Rav Chiya's half brother was Rav's father, and Rav Chiya's half sister was Rav's mother. They weren't related to each other. They weren't even half-brother and half-sister. They were their half-brother's half-sister. But they weren't related. So Rav Chiya asks, they had no mail delivery. So he asks, is my sister still alive? So he says, why don't you ask about your brother? He says, my brother was still alive. So I didn't tell you about your sister yet. So the Gemara says, Rav Chiya understood that both the brother and the sister had passed away. Why didn't Rav say so? because you're not supposed to tell that someone died. Even if the person, the person doesn't know that the relative died, he doesn't have to observe Avelus. I can drive him to a wedding and dance with him. And it's not like giving treifas to a person causing him to sin. Kozman, the mechayiv of Avelus is the Yedias Avelus. There's either Shmur Kroiv or Shmur Rechoka. Shmur Kroiv means I found out about the death of a relative within 30 days of the death. And Shmur Rechoka is I found out about the death of a relative after the 30 days are up. That's Machlek, is 30 days from when? So some Rishonim say 30 days from the Kvura Bekeva Yisrael. And we're Mekel, we say, if you hear Shmur Rechoka, if you hear about the death of a relative after 30 days, then you don't observe Shiva on Shloshim. You only observe Yom Echad. Avelus Yom Echad, and that Yom Echad you chisel down, and you can say Mitzvah Yom Kukula if you want to. If you don't want to, you don't have to. The same thing the seventh day of Shiva. If you don't want to, you don't have to call it quits in the morning. Who wants to sit Shiva more than is necessary? So whenever comes the morning of the seventh day, everybody applies the rule of Mitzvah Yom Kukula. If you don't want to, you don't have to. But the person Dafke wants to sit Shiva all the seventh days, isn't it? Hey, the same over here by Shmur Rechoika. So if a person, if the person doesn't know that his relative died, I can, says in Shulchan Aruch, I can pick him up and take him to a wedding and dance with him, and I'm not in violation of Lifnei V'Lisitim. Mishal calls money, does know that the relative died, so he's not, the laws of Avelus don't apply. Am I obligated to tell him? No, the Gemara says it's not right to tell him that the relative died, unless it's his father, unless it's a parent, then the person is going to say Kaddish. But he's not going to say Kaddish. So what do you have to tell them that their relative died? It's not necessary. Unless he's going to be angry at you later on. Why you didn't tell him? He would have gone to the funeral. Okay. But he's not going to be angry, so you don't gain anything by telling. So that's what they quote from the only guy, and he had the girsish, not besuras rois on the first white line, but shmuras rois. Bad news, you hear about it, but it's considered as if nobody said it. Levaser. And good news, that's a mitzvah to tell over, to cheer people up. So that's why the Mishnah contrasts Besuras Toivus as opposed to Shmuas Rois. Bad news, you heard about it, but no one said it. So the Mishnah says, when you hear good news, you say Atoiv HaMeitiv. The Gemara is going to modify. You only say Atoiv HaMeitiv if it's a Simcha that's shared, if it's a Birchas Hoidoya, I'm thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let's say my wife had a baby, Gemara has the case, my wife had a baby boy. And the days of the Tanoim, they were happier when they had a baby boy than when they had a baby girl. Why was that? So the Vilna Goyen is quoted as having explained that before the Cherem de Rabbeinu Gershom, so if you have a son, so the son can marry a few wives, so you can have, let's say, each wife is going to have 5 babies, let's say. So you have a son, he can marry 2 wives, 3 wives, so you can have 10 grandchildren, you can have 15 grandchildren. But if you have a daughter, the daughter's only going to have 5 babies, so you're only going to have 5 grandchildren. If you have a son, so it's better. That's what they quote from the Vilna Gaon, that after the Chem, the Rabbeinu Gershom, that's only one to a customer, you only have 1 wife, so it doesn't make a difference whether you have a son or a daughter, so it's the same thing. You're not going to be more happy or less happy whether you have a boy or a girl. So that's what they say, that people say, the Esther of Soloveitchik, that Americans are just as happy if the wife has a baby boy or a baby girl. So maybe you should say the bracha, even if your wife had a baby girl. So they say, Rabbi Soloveitchik said, yeah. That today in America it does make a difference. People are not more interested in a boy than in a girl. In the days of the Tanaim, they were more interested the way the Vilna Gaon explained, because they can have more grandchildren. I don't know, it's questionable whether that's really the pshat, because the Mishnah at the end of the second parak in Yevamos makes it very clear that it was not common practice to have more than 1 wife. You have dinim based on that assumption, that normal people are only going to have, it's hard enough to deal with 1 wife. To deal with more than 1 wife is more difficult. So who's interested in having more than 1 wife? So to say that that's the reason why they were happier if they had a baby boy than a baby girl, maybe there are other reasons. By some Sephardim, they're much more excited when they have a baby boy as opposed to a baby girl. I don't exactly understand why. They have the same mentality as in the days of the Gemara. They were happy if they had, I'm an American. I don't see the difference of boy and a girl. What? Okay, from before the Cherem de Rabbeinu Gershom. Could be.
There is no Cherem de Rabbeinu Gershom.
Okay. The Cherem was up. The Cherem was up 700 and, and And 78 years ago, I remember when I was a little boy, about 10 years old, they were writing in the newspaper, the Cherem is soon going to be up, because the Sefer Shulchan Aruch Rabbeinu Gershom made the Cherem till the end of the millennium, till the end of 1,000 years. So the newspapers thought that he made the Cherem in a certain year, and in 1,000 years it's going to be up. That's not what it means. It was over in the year 5,000, the end of the thousand. He didn't know what was going to happen in 1,000 years. He looked into the future. 100 years, he looked in the future, 100, 200 years, he thinks that you shouldn't have more than one wife in the next 150 years. So I'd say for Aleph, till the year 5,000. What's going to be after 5,000? Maybe the style will be that everyone will have many wives. He didn't want to make a cherem for so far. So the cherem, says in Shulchan Aruch, the cherem was up a long time ago. Shulchan Aruch was written in the 1500s. It says the cherem was up already. So the Ashkenazim don't observe the cherem anymore, but we observe mitam minig. We don't marry more than one wife, and if a person wants to violate the minig, so it says the Bezna has a right to put him in Cherem because he's violating the minig. But he's not automatically in Cherem because of the Rabbeinu Gershom. That's not. The Rabbeinu Gershom's Cherem was over already a long time ago.
So
if
Soloveitchik would actually say, Hatov Yaviti, when he had a girl?
Or? I don't know if he said it. That students, people say that. A few people say they asked him. Their wives had girls, and they said they're just as happy over a girl over than over a boy. They say, Rabbi Soloveitchik said, so he said, Hatov Yaviti, for a girl too. That's what they say that he said. So if a terrible tragedy occurs, they say bracha baruch dain ha'emes. And if a wonderful, if you hear good news, then you say hatayv ha'meitiv. The first wide line in the Mishnah says bana bayis chadash. He built a brand new house. Chadash kelim chadashim. He purchased new clothing and new furniture. So you say shachyan v'kimon v'gion olazman hazeh. That means if the person lives all by himself. Let's say he's married, so he shares the automobile with his wife, or shares the furniture with his wife or with his children. So then you don't say shachyan. Shachyan, you only say if it's you're the only one who has the simcha. But if you share it with other people, then you say atayv ha'meitiv. What if someone gives me a gift? Somebody gives me a gift. So the gift is only to me. Someone gives me a sefer. No one else is going to use a sefer. So then you say shachyanu. But if a boy gets engaged to a girl and he gives the girl an engagement ring, then not only is the girl excited that she has an engagement ring, the boy is excited that the girl agreed to accept the engagement ring from him. So then they both have hanoah from the fact that he gave her the matana. So then they should say teiva meitiv. They shouldn't say shachyanu. Because the simcha is shared by both of them. The same simcha is shared by both of them. Umar has a case. My father passed away and he left a big Yerusha. So if I'm the only Yerush and I get all the money, then I say Shachyanu. And if I share it with my siblings, then I say Atayv Ameitiv, because it's a Hatovah that I share with other people. I say Dayan Amos over the fact that the father passed away, and I say Atayv Ameitiv or Shachyanu over the fact that I got a big Yerusha. Then the Mishnah continues to say that you say Shachyanu. Yeah, that's a question exactly. When do you say Shachyanu? When do you say Shachyanu? Tosis and Sukkah, it says on the side, Ein Tosis Sukkah Daf Mem Vav, Mashe Kosvu. Tosis discusses this topic. Let's say a person, Tosis says in later, person purchases new socks and new underwear. Then the excitement is not so great. You don't say Shachyanu. He buys a new suit. And there's what to discuss, whether you say Shachyanu. Whether you say Shachyanu or not. But if he buys underwear, there's no big simcha. So let's say he makes a doghouse. He buys a toy, a little a house. His children are going to play with a little house. So does he say, he makes a house for his little children. That's a toy, a piece of junk. You know, Bana Bayis Chodesh means you built the house that you're going to live in. So that's the question. What if you built the sukkah? Sukkah is only going to last for a week and a half, just for a couple of days. It's not going to last so long. So the Gemara says in Sukkah, on that dach, when you build your own Sukkah, then you say Shachyanu. Why? So the Rishonim say, it's not a Shachyanu in connection with a mitzvah. Like when you shake a lulav, you haven't shaken a lulav in a year. When you blow Shofar on Rosh Hashanah, even though we blow Shofar for the whole month of Elul, that's only a minute, but blowing Shofar on Rosh Hashanah is a real din. So then you're excited, so you say Shachyanu. You read the Megillah on Purim at night, you say Shachyanu, you're excited, you light Hatlokas Neres Chanukah, the first night of Chanukah, you haven't lit Neres Chanukah in a year, so you say Shachyanu. That's on a mitzvah, Habba Mizman Lizman. That's the rule that you say Shachyanu. All right, that's because you mekayim the mitzvah. But so the, let's say you haven't. I didn't sit in sukkah since last sukkah. So I sit in sukkah the first night of sukkah. But let's say I'm eating by my children. My children invite me, and I go to their home, and then I come back on Chol HaMoed. I eat my own sukkah. I have my own sukkah. So I said shachyano the first night of sukkahs because I'm mekayim. There are really three shachyanos the first night of sukkahs. One shachyano is on Yontif. On Pesach Shavuos sukkahs for Hashanah Yom Kippur. You say shachyano. That shachyano, that's what the Rishonim say in Erev and Daf Mem on the base, but the Gemara has the suffix, where the shachyano on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is the Rishus or Rechayvam. The Gemara asked the question, do you say shachyano on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? The Gemara says, but what did you do last year? You just woke up? It's a Gershon, it's a guy, or it's a Balchiller. What did he do last year? The answer is, of course we said shachyano last year. He said shachyano on a pre-chodosh. If they're selling new fruits in the store, you're excited that you see you survived another season and you're still alive, even if you're allergic to the fruits or to the vegetables. Some people think they only say shachyano on fruits. It's not so, and so I say shachyano on the fresh vegetables also. And even if I'm allergic to the vegetable, it's not shachyano. I'm so excited about eating the vegetable. Medina, you say shachyano when you see them selling it in the store, even if you're not going to eat it, even if you can't afford it, even if you're allergic to it. Shachyano is when you see the fresh fruit, so you realize that you survived another season. Oh, they're selling watermelons now. They only sell watermelons in the summertime. So it shows that I survived the season. So that's shechyanu over the prichodesh or the hagvas hazman. That shechyanu is a rishus. That's not the chova. You're not mechuyev to. Shechyanu on Pesach Shavuos Sukkos is a chova. Why is it a chova? So the rishonim say there because there's a chiyuv simcha. On Shavuos Regalim, so because of the Chiyuv Simcha, he says Shachyan. So the Gemara Safik was, do you say Shachyan or Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur means, is it a Chayv or is it a Rishus? It's certainly Rishus. Everybody remembers, we said Shachyan last year on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Shachyan or Mahagos Hazman. We know that it's Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we survived another year. It's a Shachyan, it's Rosh Hashanah again. The Gemara had a Safik, is it an obligation to say Shachyan? The Gemara comes to the conclusion that yes, that it is an obligation. So there's one shachyana that you recite over pri chadosh, and that's only a rishus. Then shachyana on yamim tovim, that's a chayva. That's because of the mitzvah of simcha. The Gemara's maskana is that you say shachyana even Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. That's really the Shagzari raises the suffix. He has an essay: is there a chayv simcha on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? Maybe the samachta b'chagech only goes on shalosh v'golim. Maybe it doesn't apply to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. So Rav Soloveitchik always used to say about that Shagasarya, it's a machlekes hatanaim and a mishnah might cotton. The din is that if one is in the middle of Shiva and Yantav comes, so Yantav cancels Shiva. One is in the middle of Shloshim and Yantav comes, so Yantav cancels the Shloshim. How come only Yantav cancels? How come Shabbos doesn't cancel? And so the answer is not because if Shabbos would cancel, you would never have Shiva, you would never have Shloshim. Every week Shabbos comes. That's not the official answer. Tosis quotes the Talmud Yerushalmi, Tosis in the third parak in Ma'ikotin, quotes the Talmud Yerushalmi that Simcha and Avelis is a contradiction. It's not a contradiction in the Pu'ulas. Some people come home, they take off their shoes right away, they walk around the apartment in their socks. They don't wear shoes. So if you want to take off your shoes on Shabbos and Yom Tov, there's no Issur to take off your shoes. But if you take off your shoes because of Avelis, that's not right. That's what Rav Soloveitchik used to say. The kiyum of simcha is a kiyum b'leiv, and the kiyum of avela is also a kiyum b'leiv. There's such an expression in the Mishnah in Sanhedrin. Ein aninus ela b'leiv. The context of the Mishnah is that haruge bezdin, when bezdin puts someone to death, skila sveita herik chenek, so when bezdin puts him to death, so the kroivim are not allowed to observe avelos, because the pasuk reads, babod rishoyim rina. When we do away with the Rishayim, we're supposed to rejoice. So the relatives are not supposed to be misabel. But the Mishnah says that e misablam aval onanin. They do observe aninus. Aninus means that the Yom HaRishon, they're not allowed to eat Maisa Sheni, like halta bi ani mimenu, not allowed to eat karbonis, kalvachayim for Maisa Sheni, not allowed to be makruv karbonis. They're supposed to be in the state of simcha. Truma they may eat. Truma is not like Maisa Sheni. But Bikurim is a machlek satanoim, whether an oinim is allowed to eat Bikurim or not, because Bikurim is supposed to be eaten in Yerushalayim, b'simcha. So So the expression used by the Mishnah is that the relatives of the Haruge Bezen, Ein Nisablim Ela Oininim, they do observe Avelas. Why? Because Ein Aninus Ela Belev. Aninus only has Isurim. It's an Issa to eat Maaseh Sheni, an Issa to eat Korbanus, an Issa to do Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. The Pekoyin is an Oinin, is Makor Korbanus, so that all the Korbanus will be possible. So the Loshen HaMishnah, Ein Aninus Ela Belev. So Rav Soloveitchik said, truth of the matter is, Avelas is also Belev. The Kiyom of Avelas is Belev. There are specific Pu'ulas that the Oval has to do. He's not allowed to do. He doesn't wear tefillin, he doesn't bathe, and he doesn't shave, and doesn't wear shoes, all the special dinim of Avelus. But the kiyum is not so much the pu'ud, the maise Avelus, the niyog Avelus, but the kiyum is belev. So that's the steer between simchas yontav and niyog Avelus. The niyog Avelus per se is not such a steer. If a person always takes off his shoes when he walks in the house, so he can do it on yontav also. The steer between yontav and Avelus is in the kiyum shebelev. Because Simcha is the Kim Shalbaev and Avelus is the Kim Shalbaev. So that's the din that Yontav cancels Shiva, Yontav cancels Shlosh. So the Mishnah has a Machlekes Hatanayim, whether Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, cancel Shiva and Shlosh Manat. So the Pashto says that's exactly the Machlekes. Is the Chiv Simcha only on Shalosh Golem, or should we assume that there's a mitzvah of Simcha even on Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur? So Aloha Lemaisa, we Paskin, the Gemara there Paskin, Zemaikotna, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Arki Regolem, that they do cancel Shiva and Shloshim. But that doesn't necessarily indicate that we paskin the Torah Svadai like that, because we have a klal, whenever there's any suffix in Avelus, you go Lekula. Even if you hold that Avelus Yom Rishon is Daraisa, still we have a pasuk. Whenever there's any suffix, La suffix Mamzer is Mutam and Atur. Even though Mamzer is an Issa Daraisa, normally a suffix Daraisa Lechumra, but suffix Mamzer is Mutam and Atur. So there's such a din. Or Lebechutzlar, it's also... There's halacha Moshe Messina, but Sofik is mutter. Sofik arla b'chutz lortz is mutter. So Sofik Avelus is also lekula. That's a pasuk. Question where the pasuk is, but that's a pasuk that Taisus and Erevin quotes the Goinim like that. They even know the Goinim are of the opinion that Avelus and Rishon is their Isa, but you still say Sofik Avelus lekula. And even if it's not a 50-50 Sofik, it's a machlokes haposkim. Let's say 90% of the poskim hold that there is avelus, and 10% of the poskim hold that there's no avelus. So halachik nira mekal ba'avel. That's called the suffik holdu. Even though it's nowhere near 50-50, it's 90-10, still you say suffik avelus, any suffik holdu, you go l'kula. So the fact that Rosh Hashanah and Kippur both cancel avelus doesn't necessarily indicate that we really poskim like that. It could be it's only halachik nira mekal ba'avel, you always go l'kula. But this Gemara says in Erev and Daf Mem on the base, no, it's Betoris Vadai, because he says Shachyana was a Chayva. We have to say Shachyana Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. It's not just the Rishus. And the Rishonim explained there, that's because Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, that's exactly the Dion. Whether there's a mitzvah of Simcha, so we paskin, yes, there is a mitzvah of Simcha and Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. So the first night of Sukkot, we say Shachyana at the end of the Kiddush, it's really a triple Shachyana. The one Shachyana on the Yantif, Sholosh Regolim, we say Shachyana was a Chayva for sure. Then it's a shachanu on the asiyas ha-mitzvah. We haven't sit in the sukkah in a whole year. Let's say it's pouring the first night of sukkahs, and there were two opinions in the Rishonim, well, they have to sit in sukkah the first two nights if it's raining. So let's say he's following the opinion that you don't sit in sukkahs. So he said shachanu, he ate in the house, he said kiddush, the first night of sukkahs, and he said shachanu. But then it stops raining and tomorrow morning, and in the morning he sits in the sukkah. So he has to say shachanu again, because he hasn't fulfilled the mitzvah of sukkah in a year. Last night he didn't sit in the sukkah. He only sits in the sukkah in the morning. And then, let's say, the first days of sukkah, so I was invited to my children. Then I come home and I eat my own sukkah. Now I got to say shachyanu over the sukkah. So the Gemara says there in sukkah memvav and menalef, when you construct the sukkah, you can say shachyanu already. Why do you say shachyanu already? So the Rishonim explain, it's the shachyanu on habayna bayis chadosh. But on kind of kelim chadashim, if you buy underwear or socks, you don't say shachyanu. If you buy a suit, then there's a question, because we have so many suits in the closet. So they say another shachyanu. That's a question, but there's what to discuss. Well, they say shachyanu when you buy a suit. So if you make you buy a little doghouse, or you buy a toy Monopoly set, and you buy a little house or something, a dollhouse, you don't say shachyanu. But if you build a sukkah because I'm going to use the sukkah for the mitzvah, so that's considered a bais chadosh. So you say shachyanu b'torah is b'ayin a bais chadosh, not b'torah's mitzvah. No, the mitzvah is just doing a hechsher mitzvah. Building the sukkah is a hechsher mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah b'fnei atzma. It says shechiyana because it's banned by his chodosh. That's what it says in Hasogas HaRamach al HaRambam. The Raibid is not the only one. The Rambam wrote a sefer. And we have Hasogas on the Rambam. So you have the Raibid's Hasogas, then you have Mari Kurkis, every so often the Kesem Mishnah quotes, then every so often the Kesem Mishnah quotes the Hasogas HaRamach from there HaKoyin. They wrote a lot of Hasogas on the Rambam. I remember my father had in his library a sefer about one of the Chassidish Rebbe's, I forgot the name of the Rebbe, one of the famous Rebbe, Derizhina. Sefer about stories about Derizhina. So they have one story that he, I must have told it, that he came into the Beis Medrash, and there was a bit, people were screaming, and then when he walked in, all of a sudden it was quiet. So he asked, what were they screaming about? So they were embarrassed to say. So he finally pressured them, what are they screaming about? So someone had read the Rambam in the Moreh Nevuchim. The Rambam writes in the Moreh Nevuchim that the Greek philosophers understood science better than the prophets, better than the Nevi'im. So they were upset about that. Why did the Rambam says that? So he says, so someone was attacking the Rambam. Why the Rambam made such a statement that the Greek philosophers were smarter than the prophets? So he said, he'll give a mashal to explain it. So he says, mashal ma'adavadayme, the farmers never get a chance to meet the king. So once the king made an announcement that his palace is going to be open for visitors on Sunday morning between 9 o'clock or something, and he's going to be there, and whoever has any needs for anything, so should come and tell me what they need, and I'll be happy to, I'll see if I can take care of it. So the farmers came at 9:15, and they see beautiful chandeliers they never saw before, and they see carpets, and they see drapes, and paintings, and fixtures, and everything. They never saw such a thing. Everybody's oohing and eyeing and looking at the paintings and looking at the chandeliers and everything. And one farmer, and there are palace guards all over the place. So one of the farmers asked the palace guard, which door? The door's all over the place, a gigantic hall. So he asked the king, he asked the palace guard, which door will the king come out through? They said, the door over there. So the guy stood in front of the door. And he didn't look at the paintings or anything. The door opened quietly. The king appears. And he says, Adoni HaMelech, my name is Yankel. I need another behemoth to help me do the work. I can't do all the work. So he writes down his name, where he lives. He's going to buy him another behemoth. King is standing there, and everybody's wooing and eyeing, looking at the chandeliers and the drapes and everything. So then they close the door, and it makes a big noise. Everybody turns around, and they say, what happened? So they say, the king just appeared, and only one farmer spoke to him. No one else spoke to him. So he went back into his palace. Goodbye. So that's what the Rishna explained to his Hasidim, that the Ribbono Shel Olam made a beautiful world. And then he made a Maaseh Merkava, made a Gilui Shechina. And the Greek philosophers were busy looking at the drapes. And they were busy looking at the shooting stars and at the vegetables and the fruits and the animals and all of Teva. So they got a good understanding of what's happening. And the Nevi'im only concentrated on the Gilui Shechina. Yeshaya Anavi was concentrating on the Gilui Shechina. The Maaseh Merkava said the Nevi'im didn't see the drapes and the paintings and the curtains and everything else, and the Greek philosophers didn't see the Giddush Chena. They missed the main point. That's what he said to defend the Rambam. Then he added on, he said, you know, the Rambam was a descendant from David HaMelech, and it was right to become the Melech HaMashiach, and he wrote the Mishnah Torah. That was the plan. The original plan was that was going to be the constitution of the new Medina, of Medinas Yisrael. But then in Hashemayim, they decided the generation is not Roy Lekach. So they saw to it that Hasoga should be written, so the significance of the Mishnah Torah was ripped down. So the Ravid wrote Hasogas, and the Ramach wrote, and the Mari Kurkis wrote, so it's not the final word. But really, the Rambam was right to be the Melech HaMashiach. That's maybe why in Lubavitch, that's why the Lubavitch Rebbe introduced the learning of the Mishnah Torah, because the Chassidim claimed that he said that he was the Melech HaMashiach. So maybe that's why he introduced the learning of the Rambam, because the Rambam's Mishnah Torah might be by Chassidim. I think the Mishnah Torah is supposed to be the constitution for the Medina when you have the Melech HaMashiach. I don't know. They have all fascinating stories in that book. Vertlof and the Rishon HaRebbe. Yeah. So that's a question. When do you say Shachyon? So you say Shachyon, and when you do a mitzvah bom mizman lezman. The Gemara, the last line in Psachim, the last line in Gemara Psachim says that by Pidyon HaBen you say Shachyon. The Gemara has a suffix. Who says Shachyon? Does the Abi HaBen say Shachyon? Because he's fulfilling the mitzvah. Or the Kohen says Shachyon because he's getting richer. He's getting the money. He's getting richer. So the Gemara says, Hilchasa, Abi HaBen Mevorach Shtayim. The father says the Bracha Oivel Asiyosam, the Birchas HaMitzvah on the giving of the Pidyon HaBen money. And also he says the Shachyanu as well. So it's a strange Gemara. The Gemara says, Menakotze lakotze, whether the coin says the bracha, the father says the bracha. Totally different kind of a bracha. Does the father say Shachyanu because he's doing a mitzvah that only comes infrequently? That's what Tosfos says there, and Sukkah raises a question. A mitzvah bom mizman lizman is like a Mikra Megillah once a year, Tkiyah Shofar once a year on Rosh Hashanah, Adlokas Neres Chanukah, once a year, the Yom Tov Shalosh Shigolim comes three times a year. Bitzma Avav Mizman Lezman says Shachyanu. Tosfos says, why do you say Shachyanu on Pidyon HaBen? Is it because the first time in your life that you do a mitzvah, you say Shachyanu? Let's say the first time in a person's life that he fulfills Kisri Hadam. So the Shachan Yerideya has a discussion where they say Shachyanu. That's what we had in Perikates and Mevorachim. We had a Machlekes, Rashi and Tosfos. The Gemara said, where is that Gemara? The Gemara said, that somebody says Shachyanu. When they come to Yerushalayim and they bring a Karbi Mincha, so you say Shachyanu. Where was that Gemara? I forgot already. Where? Lamed Zayin on the base. I forgot already everything. Why do you say Shachyanu? So Rashi says, the first time in his life that the Kohen is Makor Karbonos, he says Shachyanu. So Tosfos said they never heard of that. Tosfos says, no, the Kohanim were divided into, the families of the Kohanim were divided into 24 Mishmaras. And every 24th week, it was his turn again. And then the Mishmar was divided into six Batei Yovas. Sunday, one part of the family, Monday, a different part. So when it's my turn, it's my Besav and my Mishma, that's once every 24 weeks. I get a chance to be Makor Karbonos Besav. That's a mitzvah bo mizman lezman. And Tosfos denies that there's such a thing. The first time in your life that you do a mitzvah, that's a bar mitzvah boy, the first time he puts on tefillin. But we don't have the practice to say Shachyanu. And some do. Some have a practice. The girl who gets married, the first time in her life that she lights candles on Shabbos, the first time in life that she goes to mikvah, so some women have a meaning that they say Shachyanu. That's like Rashi. They say that we learned that Gemara, Lamed Zayin on the base, yeah. The first time the Gerer Rebbe, before the war, went to Eretz Yisrael, and he visited Rav Kook, so Rav Kook was then the chief rabbi. So he gave him Tevel, and he told him that he should say Bracha to be Marfish Trumas and Maisers, and he said, say Shachyanu. It was the first time in his life that that he was Marfish Trumas and Maisers. So he said to Rav Kook, that's what they wrote, you're the Mardas, so I'll follow you. He wasn't going to do that, because we really don't follow that opinion, that the first time in your life that you do a mitzvah, you say Shachyanu. He said, you're the Mardas, so I'll follow you up, Saki. He told me to say Shachyanu. So that's a question, when does one say Shachyanu? If it's a mitzvah, bom, it's man, say Shachyanu. If you buy a new house, you say Shachyanu. If it's the first time in your life that you did a mitzvah, that's Machlekes, Rashi and Tosfos, where he says Shachyanu. Different Minhagim, whether yes or no, whether you follow Rashi, you follow Tosfos. The Netziv writes, Netziv was a teenager, and he had this wild idea to write a commentary on the Sheiltas, the Rav Achoi. And then later his brother-in-law also, the Aruch HaShulchan also, Mrs. Aruch HaShulchan was a sister of the Netziv, her maiden name was Berlin. So the Aruch HaShulchan was a brother-in-law of the Netziv. So he didn't know that Netziv had written, he also wrote a commentary on the Sheiltas. His we don't have. The Netziv's we have. So the Netziv, when he completed his commentary on the Sheiltas, he writes, he's wondering, is there a requirement to say Shachyanu when you finish, when you complete writing a Sefer? So he writes, he's going to run through Shas to see how often does the Gemara say that say Shachyanu, what's the rule? So he runs through Shas. Okay, got it. That's the last essay in the commentary on the Sheiltas. So he collects all the Gemaras. It's hard to know when exactly. When you buy something new, if you share the simcha with another person, if you don't share it with others, then you say shachiyonim. It's hard to know exactly what the rule is over here. When you say shachiyonim.
If you consider it as a simcha, why is it any less than a simcha of buying a new object?
I don't know. Good question. How do you decide what simcha? You do say shachiyonim. What simcha? You don't say shachiyonim.
Dynamis, you only say when you give a person that's good. But you don't.
We only.
Misfortune, you don't say dynamis. I lost his legs.
Strictly speaking, you do. When you hear terrible news, you do say dynamis. We only say the relatives of the person who died, right. Those who ripped Kriya, so they say dynamis. Some Achrenim write the Pashtus is that it's dead wrong. Some Achrayim write that if the person ripped Kriya and he forgot to say Dina Emes, then he has to rip Kriya again because he wasn't Yotzi. He didn't say the Brach. And all the Achrayim say it's wrong. The Dina Emes Brach has nothing to do with the Kriya. They're unrelated to each other. You don't rip Kriya on Shabbos and Yantar, but if you hear terrible news that someone died on Shabbos and Yantar, you say Dina Emes. Then you rip Kriya after Shabbos is over, after Yantar is over. The two are not connected at all. Anyway, that's the Shailah. Then the Mishnah says, "Mevarach al Rav me'ein al Atayva, v'al Atayva me'ein al Rav." What does that mean? You say Dayan HaEmes on a tragedy, even if it looks like it's going to turn out to be something wonderful. Let's say there was a big tornado, or there was a big flood, and my whole farm was absolutely destroyed. But the scientists predict that because there was so much water and all the crops from this year destroyed, and my house was washed away. My house was destroyed, but now, in another 2 years, everything is going to grow better because everything is so well irrigated. So it's a terrible tragedy right now, but it's going to turn out to be l'tov, it's going to turn out to be better. Or something wonderful happened. I found $1 million in the street, and I'm $1 million richer than I was before, but the government is probably going to confiscate the money from me, and they're going to probably take it away as soon as they find out about it. So you have to say Shachyanu over the fact that you found $1 million, even if it may turn out they were Oscha, even if it may turn out later on that they're going to take it away from you. So that's how the Gemara translates the words. It's a strange expression. You say Brocha l'ro me'ein ala toiva, even if you think it's going to turn out to be a toiva in the end, and you say Brocha toiva meitiv me'ein ala ro. Then the Mishnah has an expression later, Gishem shem v'vrocham ala toiva, about 10 lines later. Gishem shem v'vrocham ala toiva, Kach mevorchem al ha-ro'a. Chayuam mevorch al ha-ro'a. Kishem shem mevorchem. What do you mean kishem? So the Gemara later raises the question, what do you mean kishem? You don't say the same text to the bracha. When it's a good news, you say atayv ha-meitiv or shechyan. When it's bad news, you say dynamis. So what do you mean kishem? Just like you say ha-doma on potatoes, so too you say shahakala if you drink a cup of coffee. What do you mean just like so too? What's the comparison? The Gemara says, not that the comparison is that you say the same text of the bracha. No, the text of the tefillah, the text of the bracha, has to correspond to your perception. If his perception is that this is a toivah, then you say a toivah meitav or shachyan. If his perception is that this is a tragedy, you say dino emes. But he's supposed to be mekabel, the bad news, the simcha. He's supposed to believe, even though that's not the perception, he's supposed to believe, kol ma davar rachman letav avit. Everything that Rabban Shalom does is l'tovah. So when you recite the bracha, a close relative died. When you recite the bracha, Baruch Dayan Emes, you're supposed to recite the bracha with emunah that it's really going to be l'tovah. Everything is wonderful, and it's kol ma davar rachman, and whatever God does is really l'tovah. That's not so easy to have such an attitude. To have in the Sefer Tenua Samusa. I remember when the Sefer came out, my father liked it so much, he told me I should read it. It's a very beautiful set. He writes about the Muslim movement, what it was all about, and about the different personalities, and each one had a different hanhaga. Each one's the dikduk and shmiras hamitzvah. So he has there one of the, I think, when the Slabodka yeshiva heard that the government is going to draft them in the army, so they were afraid that's going to kill the whole yeshiva. So they moved after the yeshiva to Eretz Yisrael to Hebron. And then there was a pogrom, then there were riots in Hebron. So then the yeshiva moved, the mazel was that the boys were away in Petach Tikva that Shabbos, the riots were Friday, when they killed everybody in sight. So most of the boys were not there. Most of the boys were already. There was an Eifruf that Shabbos, so they went to Petach Tikva. Some of the people who were there were from Yeshiva College. They have their names upstairs in the faculty lounge upstairs over there. In the other building, the fact they had the names of the people who the Yeshiva College alumni who were learning in Chevron Yeshiva at the time who were killed. Because they were Americans, so they weren't so friendly with the Israeli guy who was getting married, so they didn't go to the Eifruf. So they were killed in Chevron. So when after the riots, in I think in 1929 or something, so then the Yeshiva Slabodka Yeshiva moved from Chevron and moved to Yerushalayim. So now it's in Yerushalayim. So the head of the yeshiva, I don't remember, was Rav Moshe Mordechai Epstein, went with the yeshiva. He wrote Chidushim on Zvachim when he gave shiurim on Zvachim in the yeshiva in Chevron. So I don't remember whether it was his son or the Mashgiach son, one of the prominent rabbanim in the Chevron yeshiva at that time before the riots, lost his son. His son was in his early 20s. And his son passed away at a very young age, and he was very promising, he was very learned, and he was single, he didn't even get married. So it was a terrible tragedy. So there were big balei musa, so he came an hour late to the funeral of his son. So they didn't understand, how can he come an hour late to keep everybody waiting? That's one of the things the balei musa was so makpid on, to do everything punctually. You have to start davening on time, you have to start learning on time, everything. So towards the end of the shiva, someone had enough courage to ask him, why do you come an hour late to your son's funeral? So he said, he had a rip kriya and say Dayan HaEmes, and you're supposed to say Dayan HaEmes with the Amunah, that it's really the Teva. And he didn't have the Amunah. He says it took him an hour till he kept on reviewing in his mind. The perception was that it was a terrible tragedy, and he's supposed to have Amunah that it's the Teva. So it took him an hour till he kept on talking it into himself that everything God does is the Teva. Based on this Gemara, the Gemara interprets the Mishnah. Just like when you say the Bracha ala Teiva, you say it b'simcha, so too you have to say the Bracha, Baruch Dayanu Emes, b'simcha. The perception, the text of the Bracha has to correspond to the perception. Perception is that it was a tragedy. But the attitude you're supposed to have is supposed to be that it's l'teiva. So that's very difficult to have such an attitude. The Gemara tells a story here about Rabbi Akiva, that he had a rooster and he had an animal. That's the whole story. And he had a candle. And he came to a village and nobody would put him up in the village. So he had no choice, he had to sleep outside. So then a wind came and it blew out the candle, so he couldn't see what was happening. And then his rooster died, and then his animal died. So he was left with nothing. He had no candle, he had no animal. Where's that story over here? Samach on the base. The last line. And Samach on the base going over to Samach Aleph on the Aleph. That's where the story is. It continues on Samach Aleph Amud Aleph. So he says, if the candle, and what happened was that a battalion of soldiers came to the city and they stole everybody's money. What else did they do? I forgot already. He had a rooster that was going to wake him up in the morning. So a cat came and ate up the rooster. Then a lion came, unusual. A lion came and ate up his donkey. And he kept on saying, "Kol Madav Rachman on the top of it." So that night, that they wouldn't put him up in the city, that night a battalion of soldiers, Goyis of soldiers, came to the city, and they took everybody into captivity in the city. And if his candle would have been burning, they would have seen that there's another person over there, they would have taken him too. And if a rooster would have crowed, so they would have detected him. And if his donkey would have crayed, then they would have caught him over there. So it turned out, Kol Madar Rachman al Tavav, at the time that the rooster was devoured by the cat, at the time that the lion came and devoured his donkey, he thought it was a tragedy. But he kept on saying, Kol Madar Rachman al Tavav. He was a Talmud. The Gemara says he was a Talmud of Nochem Ish Gamzu. Nochem Ish Gamzu always said Gamzu L'Teufa. So because he was a Talmud of Nochem Ish Gamzu, he had a different tradition. Nochem Ish Gamzu was a Tanna. Had a different tradition about the Midrash that turned the Dreshes to him. we say in the Siddur every day, we say before Baruch Shama, Rabbi Shmuel Lamed Bishlosh Esminis HaTorah Nidreshes Ben Rabbi Shmuel Holtz Meklal Prat, Prat Teklal, Klal Prat Teklal. The Gemara says Rabbi Akiva had a different tradition from Nochem Ish Gamzu that is not Klal Prat. It's Riboy Miut, Miut V'Riboy, Riboy Miut V'Riboy, and it comes out slight differences Halacha L'maisa. The Gemara in Shavuos, in the beginning of Shavuos, gives you the differences Halacha L'maisa, but they hold like Rabbi Akiva's tradition that it's Ribi Miyot, or you hold like Rabbi Shmuel's tradition that it's Klala Prat, Prat the Klala, etc. So he was a Talmud, Rabbi Kiva was a Talmud of Nochem Ish Gamzu, who always said Gamzu L'Tavol. So he did the same, Kol Ma'adav Rachmana L'Tavol. So at the time that the tragedy occurred, he thought it was a tragedy. His perception was that it was a tragedy. But a lot of times what we consider, what our perception is totally inaccurate. There's such a medrash on the pasuk when Yaakov Avinu was afraid to let Binyamin go. So he cries out that so the brothers went back to Egypt and said the man in Egypt not going to let us buy any more food unless he would bring Binyamin. So Yaakov Avinu says, Yosef Hinenu Mishim Menenu Binyamin Tekoch Alai Hayu Kulona. He's crying, oh my son Yosef is not here, my Shimon is not here, you're going to take Binyamin. So the medrash comments, what's the old man cracking about? Yosef is the prime minister, he's running the whole world. He's in charge of the whole world. And Shimon, it says, Vayeser Osileinahem, so Rashi quotes in the Medrash, that he only put Shimon, Yosef was putting on an act, he was trying to frighten the brothers, to see if they did tshuva from the way they mistreated him, to see if they're going to treat Binyamin also with jealousy. So the minute the brothers left, Yosef Asalem, so he let Shimon go free and let him march around, he was free to march around Egypt, do whatever he wants. And Binyamin, nothing happened to Binyamin. So Yaakov Avinu is only crying. Yosef and then is Binyamin Tekoch Alai, how you kolona? And everybody's having a good time. He said, what our perception is a lot of times doesn't correspond to reality. Our perception is what's in our mind. We think that the world is coming to an end. And it's not so. Everything is wonderful. Yeah, so that's what the Gemara says, that Kishem Shem Mevorcham Ala Atoy V'Kach Mevorcham Ala Ra means you're supposed to recite the Bracha Dayan HaEmes B'Simcha, you're supposed to have Amuna Kol Ma'adav Rachmana V'Tavav. We don't understand that they killed over 6 million Jews. Now, I was a little boy after the war, they said that they killed 9 million Jews. They say that Stalin killed more people than Hitler. Just to stay in power, he killed more people than Hitler. Such tragedies, but that we believe that everything the Baruch Shalom does is l'tayvah.
Eddie quotes the Ramban that the Emunah Bitachon has in his quotes that Bitachon is not necessarily it's going to turn out okay, but it's like Hashem. How does that work with Kol Ma'adav Rachmana L'Tavav?
The Baruch Shalom knows what's tayv. We don't even understand what's tayv. We think we have a definition of type. It doesn't always correspond to what's really type. Then the Mishnah has on the third white line, Hatzoek Lisha'ovar, Hareza Tvilashov. It means basically, the Mishnah gives an example. His wife is pregnant, he has 6 daughters, and he's chalashing to have a son. And he offered her, but his wife is already 8 months pregnant. Now is the time to pray, you want a boy. Before she becomes pregnant, you pray, you want to have a boy. But you don't pray in the 8th month, and the 9th month she's about to give birth. You're asking for a miracle. So that's what the Mishnah says. You're not allowed to ask for a miracle. Hatzoik l'sha'avar, he's praying about something that was already determined. It's too late to pray now. Yeratzen shetel l'ishti zoch as a tvila shavar. Or Yabob Baderch, he's traveling on the highway, and he hears that people are screaming in the city. There's some tragedy occurred. A house burnt down, or someone died, someone had a heart attack. He says, Yiratzen Rabbanu Shalom, Yiratzen Avinach, it shouldn't be at my home. Either it is or it isn't. Now it's too late to pray. Either it is or not. He's asking for a miracle. That even if the tragedy occurred in my home, by the time I come home, she'd be undone. You're not allowed to ask for a miracle. Not permitted to ask for a miracle. I remember once I was, we were married a few years, we didn't have any children yet, so we decided to visit Eretz Yisrael to possibly be blessed with children in the schus of visiting Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara says in Yevamos that sometimes you don't have children because of Avayin Chutzlortz, because you live in Chutzlortz. The Pesukim say Avraham Avinu lived in Chutzlortz all those years and he didn't have children. When he moved to Eretz Yisrael, then he was blessed with children. So we went to Eretz Yisrael and we visited the different... My father-in-law gave us a list of all of his chaverim that he remembered from Europe, who are rabbonim in the different yeshivas. So we went to visit all of them. So we spent quite a few days in Bnei Brak. The Panavish Yeshiva was there. So we visited by the different Rabbanim. I remember one day they were davening Minche in the Panavish Yeshiva, and they were saying Tilim for one of the people in the Kol who had a serious case of cancer. So the Mashgiach in the Yeshiva at that time was Rabbi Chatzka Levinstein. He was after Rabbi Yeruchim in the Mir Yeshiva. Rabbi Yeruchim was the Mashgiach, and then he passed away, and he's buried there next in the city Mir in Europe. And then they got Rabbi Chatzka Levinstein was already in Eretz Yisrael at that time. So they got him to come back to Europe to take over the position to become Mashgiach in the Mir Yeshiva. Some of them refer to Rabbi Yeruchim as the Vice Rishon. They refer to Rabbi Chatzka Levinstein as Vice Sheni. Okay. So remember, so when I visited Eretz Yisrael, so Rabbi Chatzka Levinstein was the Mashgiach in the Panavish Yeshiva. So he didn't want to say Tilim for the Chayil. He said, the guy's half dead. How can you ask for a miracle? So we didn't... I wasn't all the way up in the front. I was diving in the middle by Smanish. So you see, Rabbi Shmuel Rozovsky was tall and good-looking. And he was davening next to Mashgiach, who was an old man, must have been in his 90s. So you see this tall man lean over. After Mincha, they were saying, he leans over. And then the Mashgiach said, okay. So then he joined in. So they said that he told them that this person, the Avrech and the Kol, has the same type of cancer that Pliny had, and Pliny survived. So-and-so survived from the cancer. The doctors say it's the same type of cancer. So we're not really asking for a miracle. They have ways to treat it. There is a Bederach HaTeva, there's a Pasuk. So Mashgiach said, okay, then we're not asking for a miracle. Then he's going to die. But if a person is half dead, what are you asking? What are you going to say to him? You can say to him, you shouldn't say to him that the Rebbeinu Shlom should grant the person a Refuah Shleima. If Bederach HaTeva, he's already half dead, the Rebbeinu Shlom should have Rachmanis on the person. Okay, Rachmanis means he should die in peace or whatever the Muslim. Sometimes the person died already. So then, how do you ask that? So we say in the daf, "Nemechay Mesim Rachmim Rabim." Dead people need Rachmim also. They need Norta Pchias Mesim. So it says in Shulchan Aruch. Someone calls up the yeshiva. They say someone is sick. Could you please say Tilim? Okay, so we're going to say Tilim by Mincha. They probably didn't die. They called up at 1 o'clock, and we're going to daven Mincha at 2:30. So they probably didn't die in the hour and a half. But then are we going to say Tilim tomorrow morning? Maybe the person died in the middle of the night. How can you say Tilim? So if they call us up again, they tell us the person is still alive, please say Tilim. Okay, so we'll say Tilim. They don't call up, so you can say Tilim, but you shouldn't say in the schus of the tefillahs that Rebbeinu Shlom should give him a refuah shleima. Maybe he's dead already. So you say, Rebbeinu Shlom should have Rachmanis on him. Rachmanis applies even to a dead person. Chayim Meisim, Rachmim Rabim. But that's the klal. You're not allowed to ask for a miracle. You can ask b'derech hateva. You can ask for things that should be b'derech hateva. You can't ask for a miracle. That's what the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch says, that reciting, we spoke about it, reciting Al HaNisim in the Birchas Hamoz and on Chanukah is only a minute. You're not obligated to. To recite Al HaNisim in the Shemona Esrei is obligatory. That's the Takanas Chachamim. But to recite Al HaNisim and the Birchas Hamoz, and the Gemara says, you're not mechuyif to have a Suda on Chanukah. On Purim, you're probably mechuyif to say Al HaNisim in the bench. And there's even an opinion that if you forgot to say Al HaNisim on Purim, you're not yotze the Suda. You have to repeat the Birchas Hamoz. That's a machlokes in the Magen Avraham. On Chanukah, you're not mechuyif to have a Suda. So you're not mechuyif to, even if you had a Suda with bread, you're not mechuyif to mention Chanukah. But it says if one forgot Al HaNisim, the Birchas Hamazon, doesn't have to repeat the Birchas Hamazon. But the Ramah says the meaning is that you say Harachman at the end, different paragraphs of Harachman. So add another Harachman, Yasal Al HaNisim, and Flos, Geshem Shasisa Lav Senu, Ba Yom Vahim, as Man Azed. Then you say B'mei Matisyo. You say it over there. So the Shari Tshuva quotes Akasha, I think from the Parim Meiris, how can you say Harachman, Yasal Al HaNisim? You're not allowed to ask for Nisim. The Mishnah says it's against the halacha. That's atzoik l'shava. You're not allowed to ask for a nes. So the Shari Tshuva next to the Behet, the Shari Tshuva quotes the three klolim. Klal Yisrael is lemalim and ateva. So if you ask harachman asalon and nisim on behalf of klal Yisrael, that you're allowed to ask. Then the second klal is unusual tzaddikim are considered like klal Yisrael. They can't even ask for a nes. They can ask Ranes. And he quotes Gemaras in the middle of Tainus. There's one perek in Tainus that's called Pirka de Hasidi, the perek about all the stories about the Hasidim, the Tzadikim, the Tanoim and Amaroim, that the Ribbono Shel Olam made nisim for them. They offered a tefillah. The wife died and there's no one to nurse the baby, so the husband prayed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so he developed breast and he was nursing the baby. It was Mamish Shalemayla Men Ateva. One day, by mistake, they didn't have oil to light the candle, so they had vinegar. So vinegar doesn't function as fuel. If you put a wick in vinegar, it's not going to burn. If you put a wick in oil, it's going to burn. So he said, Mishom HaLashem V'yadlik, Yom HaLachayim V'yadlik. So a miracle occurred, and the vinegar burned. So the big tzaddikim, unusual tzaddikim, they're like klaliso, so they have a right to ask for nisim. Or if you ask for a nes, b'derech hateva, a nes nista, so that you're allowed to ask for. So that's why if one forgot ala nisim in the davening, in the Birchas HaMazon on Chanukah, you say, ten harachman yasalan nisim in the flood, that you're permitted to ask for. But usually, that's a yotzim in a klal. Usually the klal is in the Mishnah. You're not allowed to ask for a miracle. Then the Mishnah, in the days of the Tanoim, it was like under the communists, it was dangerous to go into a city where they had spies and security men and soldiers all over the place. So you would offer a tefillah when you were about to enter the city, then you would offer a tefillah when you were about to leave the city, because they would always give you a hard time when you would be entering a city, when you would be leaving a city. The Gemara has a tefillah saderach, that's a different Gemara, but this is a special tefillah when you enter the city, when you leave the city. Then the Tana ben Azai says you should offer two prayers when you're about to enter the city. Notice in Ha'ador al Sha'over, you thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu that your trip so far was safe, and you ask V'tzoik al Hasid, and you ask, you offer a tefillah, I should be able to enter the city. And then when you're about to leave the city, you thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu that my stay in the city the last couple of days was safe, and then you offer a tefillah lehaba, I should be able to leave the city in one piece. They shouldn't give me a hard time. Yeah, today, when you travel in Europe, sometimes they keep you waiting at the border for 4 hours, just to show who's the boss. Depends which country. In America, they don't give you such a hard time. That's why you have so many Mishugayim coming into America. But the European country, they keep you waiting at the border forever. And then how do you know Chai Varam Levorach Al Aro? How do you know you have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu when a tragedy occurs? So the Gemara says, based on the pasuk, we have to say Hashem Elokech b'chol levavcha v'chol nafshecha v'chol miyodecha. The Gemara takes each phrase individually. What does it mean, b'chol levavcha? So the Gemara has a tradition. There's a word lev and there's a word levav. The word levav implies that there are two parts to the heart. Lev is only one part. David HaMelech says in Tehillim, libi cholol bekirbi. He doesn't say levavi cholol. The pasuk says, Lev Chacham Leimina V'Lev Ksir L'Smola. Where's that pasuk? In Koheles, I think. So I think we assume that the part has four parts. So the, in Tanakh, they describe it as if the heart has Yemin and Smol. As if the right side of the heart has the Yetzer Tov. As if the left side of the heart, that's not necessarily, doesn't necessarily have to correspond scientifically, medically, to what it really is. That's in literature. You call the right side of the heart is the Yetzer Tov, and the left, how to say, Lev Chacham Limin, V'Lev Ksir L'Smol. The Yetzer Tov is in the right half of the part. It doesn't mean medically, it means literature. You write like that. So, Libi Cholol Bekirbi, David HaMelech is referring to the first page in the Tanya. He quotes the Maimar Chazal. Libi cholol bekirbi, my heart is empty. Why? Shaharoga b'tainus, it means the left side of his heart is empty because he fasted so many tanesim, he got rid of his yetzahar. So that's one lave was empty. The right lave was full, the yetzahar was full, and the left part of the heart was cholol, was empty because he fasted so many tanesim, he didn't have a yetzahar. So here it says, we have to show b'chol levavcha. B'chol levavcha means both with the Yetzer Tov and with the Yetzer Hara. You should use your Yetzer Hara for... Yetzer Hara tells you to do crazy things. So do crazy things. Stay up all Thursday night and learn in a Mishma. Do crazy things. L'shem Shemayim. Learn with Mesiras Nefesh and do mitzvahs with crazy things within reason. use the Yetzirah within reason for good purposes. Yetzirah is a timid guy. He's not going to do anything crazy. So you have to use a little bit with the Yetzirah. So that's why you have to b'chol levavcha, b'shnei Yetzirah, b'yetzirah, b'yetzirah. So then what's b'chol napshecha? Apinachalas napshecha. That's the din of Yehorek bal Yavar. You have to, Hashem Lokecha goes on avodah zarah, Shema Yisrael Hashem Echad. You have to demonstrate Allah for HaKadosh Baruch Hu by, if need be, to give up your life, to fulfill the mitzvah. If a person doesn't give up his life, they hold a gun to his head and he converts to another religion, Mipachad Miso, so the Rambam says you don't give him the death penalty. He Bikoch Nefesh was really Doiche, the Avera of Avodah Zarah, but he didn't fulfill the mitzvah, V'yahavtas Hashem Elokecha. So you don't deserve the death penalty because you didn't fulfill V'yahavtas Hashem Elokecha. That's b'chol nafshecha afilu nefesh nafshecha. Sometimes the din requires Yehorek Val Yavar, because it's talking about Avodah Zarah here. And the Gemara has other psukim for Shvichas Domim and for Gili Arayis. Avodah Zarah, for Shvichas Domim, all the Tanaim agree that you say Yehorek Val Yavar. The Gemara said that's a svara. My chos is the Domim the Achsum Mikveh, Domim Domim the Hugarvisum Mikveh. How do you have a right to kill someone else to save your own life? Who says that your life is worth more than his life? Maybe his life is worth more than yours. So you're not allowed to kill someone else to save your own life. Then the Gemara says that the same is true, that Svara carries over to Gili Arayis, because it's Ki Kashi Akmesh, Ariyah, Pertzoch HaNefesh, Kena Dabarazet, Tzoch HaNara HaMaras, Vehim HaShi'eloh, that Gili Arayis is to be compared to Shvichas Domim. So by Shvichas Domim, we say, Horek Val Yavar Mitzara Svara. And then by Gili Arayis, it's say based on the Hekesh, Ki Kashi Akmesh, Pertzoch HaNefesh, Kena Dabarazet. So that all the Tanoim agree. Avodah Zarah is a machlekes hatanoim, whether you say Yehorek Val Yavar or not. Tosis in Avodah Zarah, with the other Tana appears, they said Chas v'Shalom to Paskan like that. Why Chas v'Shalom? Because that was their tradition. They were Moshe Nefesh during the Crusades. They gave up their lives. So they say their tradition was that we Paskan like this Tana. Not so clear that that should be the din, but that's what Tosis is. The Rambam Paskan was like that also, but Tosis got carried away with the emotion. So he says, our tradition is that you say Yehorek Val Yavar. Based on the Gemara, it's not so easy to tell. And then we also say Yehorek Val Yavar, any other b'ferhesya, b'shas hashmad, is dinu k'ferhesya. B'chol miyodecha means b'chol mamayncha. You shouldn't worship Avodah Zarah, even if it means you have to lose all of your money. What about to observe the mitzvahs, let's say, in Russia, some of the people who were observant under the communists, they would blow in 2 weeks' salary in order the wife should be able to go to a mikveh in a different city, go by plane, and then to come back. They used up all of their money in order to observe Taras HaMishpach. Are you mechuyev to spend all your money to observe Taras HaMishpach? Let's say a person is a Shem Shabbos, so he's going to make much less than if he's not a Shem Shabbos. Today, everybody has off on Saturday and Sunday, but years ago, if you were Shem Shabbos, you wouldn't make a living. My both grandfathers didn't make a living. They were Shem Shabbos in America. You didn't make a living. So we, in Shulchan Aruch, it says that with respect to any loises, you have to give away kol hoin beisa. You have to give away all of your money. B'chol mamaincha is not restricted only to Avodah Zarah. It applies to every loises. A mitzvah says you only have to give up until chaymesh. You're not have to spend more than one-fifth of your total savings in order to fulfill a mitzvah. But a loisesei, there are more paskins, they have to give away kol hoin beisa. Then the Bi'ur HaGra quotes that there are some Rishonim who disagree. They say no, that b'chol mamaincha only refers to Avodah Zarah, where the din is Yehorek Val Yavar, you have to even give up your life. So then you have to give up kol mamaincha. With respect to other mitzvahs, loisesei, it's the same as an essay. You don't have to spend more than chemish. That's not the accepted opinion. That is clearly not the accepted opinion, but the Vilna Gaon quotes such an opinion from the Rishonim. So one interpretation was b'chol miodecha, b'chol mamaincha. You have to give away kol hanbeis and not to worship Avodah Zarah, and we paskan la'alacha not to violate any loises. And davar acher, another level of interpretation, b'chol miodecha, b'chol midud, midud shemod lucha, midud lo, b'mod miod, that goes on k'shem shemavarcham ala tev, v'kach mevarcham ala ro. He said before, Chai Varam Lavarach Alarach Shem Shavarach Alatoiva. Shenemar, so the punchline is the last one. Dover Acher, the second interpretation in B'chol Miyadecha is B'chol Midu Midu Shemodid, Halimod de lo be miod miod.
Every lav, that means the very rights of the flow of en al yishamer. The Rabbonans
is a big machlokes in Pischei Tshuva and Yerideya. How can you say that some hold? How can you say that an aver the Rabbonan is more chomer than an essay deraisa? If an essay deraisa, you're not mukhiyev to spend kol hoim beis only at chaimesh. So an aver the Rabbonan can't be more chomer. And others say no. Called the Tikkun Rabbanan came the Rashi. And Lois says the Rabbanan. That was Rabbi Yosef Engel wrote a whole country's Oitzus Yosef on Shemitah. His Mechutin was the Kotzke Rebbe Morgenstern. So Morgenstern wrote a whole Kol Kori attacking the Jewish colonists at the end of the 1800s in Eretz Yisrael that they were relying on the Het Mechira. So he writes against it. And he says, you're not allowed to do Avodas HaKarka even if you sell a field to the Goy. Rabbi Yosef Engel has a whole open letter, right around almost 100 pages long, I think it's 99 pages long. And then he writes in the middle, there's room to be makel even without a mechira, because it's only the Rabbanon. Shemitah b'zman hazeh is only the Rabbanon. It's only the Rabbanon, and it's a very strong argument that an isa the Rabbanon can't be more chomer than a mitzvah deraisa. So if they're not going to do avodas hakarka, they'll be broke. They'll have to live off of charity that we'll collect at the Keren HaShviyas. They collect money from the Jews all over the world to support the farmers in Eretz Yisrael. We're not doing any work at all during the Shnas HaShmita. So to live off of charity, you're not mechuyev. So that's what he argues out. He suggests we should follow that opinion, that an Aver de Rabbanan can be Mohammed and a mitzvah deraisa. And maybe they don't even need a Heter Mechira. Maybe they're allowed to do Avodas HaKarka even without a Heter Mechira. Okay. They told me that there's a funeral today, that the Sofer passed away, He was sick for a long time. So it's supposed to be at 2 o'clock. So maybe we'll stop now. And tomorrow morning I'll give the shiur at 9 o'clock. It'll have to be also a short shiur. Because I just found out on the phone before, I have to leave at 10 to 10 in the morning. Okay, so it'll be a chatzi shiur tomorrow. We'll continue in Perek HaRayim.
I need a sefer for a gift for Stefan's son at the mitzvah sign. I don't remember what I got last time for the other son. I want to get something else. What was the last sefer already?
Well, my sefer.
Yeah.
The new one. The new one just came out this year. The new one was on the Yom Tov.
Yom Tov.
Okay, I have it in my office. Okay.
Check it out.
I'll open up the door for you.
I don't want to. It is a funeral that's in.